everybody, and welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank, number 25. First and foremost, before we get this started, I just want to say that I promised a new episode every Monday, and so far, one for one. That's the biggest streak of my life in anything. So, in today's episode, I talked to a New York comedian named Mike Lawrence, who's very, very funny, but he's also an aficionado of comic books. I hate to say comic book nerd, because it's such a cliched... It's such a cliched line and phrase, but it's like, he's a humongous nerd, and he really loves comic books. So, I guess call it what you want. But sit back and relax and enjoy Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank, number 25, comic book nerd. So you're into comic books?
Yeah.
You're into that world? Like you?
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely.
Explains, yeah. I think that's weird when people... My friend Mike Black is into it, too. And I guess a bunch of people are. I guess it's not... You're not keeping the industry alive. But, like, what's... How does that... How much of that day do you take up?
How much of my day does it take up? You know...
constantly looking at...
You know, I'd say it ebbs and flows. On average, about 2 to 3 hours.
2 to 3 hours a day?
It depends. You know, sometimes I won't read that much, and then other times I'll read for, like, you know, 4 or 5 hours.
Does that include, like, research time?
Well, what do you mean by research time?
I mean, like, my friends know what books are coming out, what graphic novels are coming out. They can't wait for this. This guy's writing this episode of Batman, and that's interesting.
Yeah, well, I mean... Yeah, I guess if you want to count that, then yeah. I mean, the thing about my comic book fandom that I'll just get out of the way is, you know, I had a huge action figure collection. I'm from Florida, and in Florida, I had a huge action figure collection, and at least 10.
Florida had one, or you had one in Florida?
In Florida, okay, yeah. Florida has a huge racist collection. No, but I had tons of action figures and tons of comic books. And when I moved to New York to do comedy, I couldn't buy as many. So I'm still a
broke here.
Yeah. And it's just they're more expensive and stuff.
Really?
And yeah. Oh. I mean, they've just gotten, I mean, with inflation and everything. Like when I was collecting action figures, they were like $6.99, $7.99, and now they're the exact same figures are like $15 or $16. So
because it's a collector's item?
No, just because I guess the cost of plastics, shipping. All you know that we're in a recession, inflation. You know, comic books even 10 years ago were maybe like $1.50, $2, and now they're about $3.99.
I remember them being like a dollar.
Yeah.
When I was buying Spider-Man's and Batman's.
Yeah.
Those are the only ones I liked.
When were you collecting?
I wasn't collecting anything. I just. Liked
When were you buying those?
I was probably in. I would go to the mall and do it, so I probably had a car, probably 16 or 17 years old, probably 20 years ago.
Okay, yeah. So that was McFarlane era, you know, with the Spider-Man number one where he's perched on the webs.
Uh-huh.
That was like one of the highest-selling comics of all time. That was around the boom period.
Of comic books?
Yeah. It's funny. Comic books and comedy have roughly the same boom period and roughly the same bust period. They both rose like really hard in the early 80s and completely fell flat in the mid 90s.
Really?
Yeah.
I think the baseball cards did the same thing.
Yeah.
I had all these baseball cards that were worth so much, and I looked at a Beckett's recently and it was like, oh, they're worth nothing.
Well, yeah, because I mean, it was an oversaturation.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's like the death of Superman was basically the death of the comic book industry.
I remember
at the
that.
Time.
Why?
Well, because everybody bought it just because of the idea that it was going to be a collector's item, which defeats a collector's item. If everyone has it, then it's not worth anything. And more and more stories were just doing these drastic changes to characters. Because, I mean, it was like...
To make it a collector's item.
Well, that was a national news story that Superman died. And, of course, he was going to come back. So, people were...
They were going to kill off the franchise.
Yeah, so people were upset. And the story was okay at best.
Yeah, well, it was just... What is it, just a big guy who could jump really far?
Yeah, Doomsday.
Was that what it was?
Yeah.
I remember
who was created just for it, which kind of annoyed me, that they didn't even like help establish a villain that had already been there, so you could be like, wow, that guy really is a threat. It was just they created...
Just to pay it off, right?
It was
then.
A plot device, yeah.
They used to do that in Friends all the time. It pissed the fuck out of me.
Yeah.
Where I remember once it was like the guy who's always snarky, Chandler.
Yeah.
Like he would be snarky. They were like, I bet you can't go a week without being snarky. And then the chick that was in Scream, Monica.
Yeah.
She was always like the,
Courtney Cox.
A neat freak. Yeah, Courtney Cox. She was always a neat freak. They're like, I bet you can't go a week without being, you know, overly OCD. And then like earlier in the episode, this is the beginning of the episode, but like a minute before, Jennifer Aniston just started getting really gossipy, like overly. And you're like, what is that?
Just to
that
fit
was
the
weird.
Episode?
Yeah, and they were like, I bet you can't give up gossip for a week. And I was like, oh, you have no respect for me as an audience member.
Yeah.
I'm switching to the Wayans brothers.
Yeah.
turning channels.
White Mike. What a great character that was.
Who was that? It was White
Rich
Mike.
Mulally.
That's Rich
Mulally,
right?
Yeah.
Now he's dead. White Mike got him nothing.
And he didn't come back, so better than comic books at least.
Yeah. Yeah, they just
they paid it off.
But was he just stuck in a crater somewhere? And then he...
Yeah. It was so dumb. Black. And then like that Superman was in some birthing matrix chamber thing that he comes back and
but they also just introduced
the four other Supermen, which that wasn't bad. That was kind of cool because one of them, you know, the cyborg was a villain, and then the other guy, Steel, ended up being a character for a good while. And
oh, wow.
They did stuff with Superboy, but overall, like the whole death thing, because then they broke Batman's back, Green Lantern went crazy and became another, and then they gave it to another Green Lantern. You know, they just did all these changes. The worst being the Spider-Man clone saga.
What's the Spider-Man clone saga?
Just say clone saga to any comic book fan.
What does that mean?
They will start crying. Well, basically what they did in the, I want to say it was from 94 to about 97. This is like at least a 3-year arc. They did this thing where, I'll say this. In the late 70s, maybe early 80s, issue 150, they did this thing.
Spider-Man?
Yeah, where Spider-Man fights his clone. And he throws the clone in a steam stack or whatever. And smokestack, and the clone seemingly dies. Now, what the clone saga said was that the clone was the one that threw Peter Parker into the smokestack, and that the issues that we've been reading for the past 15 years have been all about the clone, who is the one true Spider-Man.
Why would he be the one? What? Wouldn't Spider-Man be the one true Spider-Man?
No, because...
I can see...
They retroactively changed 15 years of continuity. It was the worst. It was the worst thing.
Well,
and
what
then,
was the difference whether or not he was a clone? He still thought he was Peter Parker, right? Everyone else did too?
Yeah.
So what's the difference?
So there were two guys that thought they were Peter Parker.
They did this on Star Trek with Will Riker.
Yeah.
Do you remember this? You do remember it. Do you not?
I don't.
So you don't watch other nerd
Riker,
shit?
Riker, I watch some other nerd shit. Riker just always looked like Bob Vila to me.
Yeah.
He just looked like he had built the Enterprise himself.
Yeah. He was so good looking, and that beard was perfectly manicured. And he fucked, what's her name? Deanna Troi, that everybody wanted to bone.
Well, Next Generation really was like the most soap opera-y of all Star Treks, including the way that all the characters looked.
They had a kid.
Yeah. Wesley Crusher, yeah.
The only kid.
Yeah.
For most of the time.
Deanna Troi with that so 80s hair.
Yeah, but he got stuck on some... He got cloned, I guess, randomly. And then they left, and he went crazy being there for 20 years until they found him again.
Ugh.
And then the two Rikers had to deal with each other.
Yeah, but that was one episode, right?
That was one episode,
This was
yes.
3.5 years.
And they just did clones? Or was it just...
There were other clones that they brought in. There were other characters that they brought in. And what they did, they kept doing, because there were four... There were 3 or 4 Spider-Man books at the time. They made it so that you had to buy.
That's when I lost it.
Yeah, that's when everyone lost it. Everyone lost it.
There was the Amazing Peter Parker.
There was Amazing Spider-Man, Peter Parker, the Spectacular Spider-Man, Adjectiveless Spider-Man, and Web of Spider-Man.
Adjectiveless?
Where it was just Spider-Man.
Oh, right.
Where you didn't have an adjective. Yeah.
Yeah, and Web of Spider-Man. I remember there being 3, and then a 4th one came, and I was like, What am I reading? I'm trying to keep up.
Yeah.
Like, what is this?
And it's not fair. Yeah, because
no.
People just want to read a book.
And different things are going on in different ones. They don't play off each other completely, right? Or do they all? Do they all exist in the same world?
Well, they kind of do, but, you know, because of the fact that you had 4 different writers doing all the books, you would have, you know, different pet supporting characters and stuff that would get a lot of attention in one writer's book, but then get nothing.
Yeah, like Gwen was big in one.
Yeah.
Mary Jane was big in another.
Well, that was just eras. Gwen Stacy died in the early 70s.
Oh, but they had, so they just, but they used, still used her, didn't they?
No, no. They used,
were they maybe just doing callbacks to her? Because I remember her
maybe
being.
You're thinking of Debbie Whitman, who also had blonde hair. And there was also Black Cat. I mean, yeah, the different writers wanted different love interests. So it was, it's such a confusing time. It was too much. That's it was fine. Just an excess thing. I mean, but that happened with comedy too, where they opened too many clubs. Too many, everything became, and everyone could be a comic, and every comic book could be a number one issue. So it was the same thing.
Oh, and they just made collectors item out of each of them.
Yeah.
So it's the first one of this spectacular, amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah,
trilogy.
There's nothing impressive about a number one. Every comic has a number one.
It's impressive 60 years from now.
Yeah.
When you're like, hey, I still have this copy.
Issue 700.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite comic? Do you have one, or do you not like that?
Like comedy? Like
comic book.
My favorite comic book. It's tough to say. I could tell you who my favorite writers and artists are. I mean, that's really how the industry. Once again, the whole comic book connection is that now only the diehards are left. Like in the early 90s. If your issue, you know, issues would sell in the millions. It wasn't uncommon for something to sell a million copies. Like an X-Men issue could sell 800,000 copies.
How much do bestsellers sell?
Like best-selling books? Uh-huh. I mean, I'm not sure, but I'm sure something like Harry Potter sold millions upon millions of copies, or Twilight. I mean, you're thinking the most popular stuff.
What about just like on the New York Times bestseller list, like 20th?
Like a James Patterson book he wrote with someone else, not even like one of his big ones.
Yeah. A new thousands. Michael Crichton book. Michael Crichton wrote a book now when he's not popular anymore.
Oh, he's dead.
Did he die?
Yeah, he died.
This is horrible news. This interview is over. I'm going to mourn. I'm going to watch
OPR episodes. Every time we talk fondly about someone,
they're all dead.
My favorite. Who's your favorite character? Uncle Ben. No! It's not fair. It's not fair.
My favorites were Batman and Spider-Man only because they were normal people.
Yeah, and they had the best villains.
Oh, really?
I think so, yeah. Batman and Spider-Man probably have the best, you know.
Superman was too indestructible.
Yeah.
So I never felt like he was in any danger.
Well, it's not that he's indestructible, it's that he's just kind of bland.
He's boring. He has no real issues.
He has the same problem as Captain America. Where both characters work great when someone's playing off of them, but they're not good in a lead role. I call this the Tom Cruise factor.
You don't think Tom Cruise?
I think Tom Cruise is terrible, but he was great in Magnolia because he was only in it for 15 minutes and was allowed to do something different.
He's good in Risky Business. He was terrible in that one movie with the retard.
Oh, wow.
Or autistic kid, whatever his name was, the guy from The Graduate.
Rain Man.
Yeah, Rain Man. He was so over the top and bad. I saw it years later, so I wasn't overcome. And I was like, oh, this is really bad. How could this win an Oscar? It's just bad. It's obvious. At every turn, it's obvious.
Yeah, but people, you know, that often wins the Oscar.
Yeah, I guess so. As it was beginning, I remember him being a jerk to somebody on the phone as he was trying to sell these Ferraris.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, before I even took any film classes or anything, I'm like, oh, you're setting this guy up to be the, I don't care about anything but business.
Yeah,
it was just so thrown down my throat. I think
the more you watch movies and the more like you learn about movies, the harder it is to just like
enjoy them.
Or everything you watch, you're like, oh, that's an establishing shot. Oh, that's what that's doing. That's just showing you that character is going to be this. And
I had this friend Dave Pierre who said he couldn't enjoy movies anymore because he worked on too many of them. And when he saw something like A Beautiful Mind, not A Beautiful Mind. What's the one where the girl bathes in a bathing.
Oh, American Beauty.
American Beauty. Yeah, he said he saw that bag going up in the air.
Yeah.
Everyone's supposed to think it's beautiful, but he can see right off the screen the two Mexican grips on either side with leaf blowers trying to keep that bag up. And he's like, that's definitely happening. And then he just catch a shot. And he's like, no, I can't think. It's not that beautiful.
Yeah.
Just minimum wage, union wages. I like Peter Parker had real girl problems.
Yeah.
Shit that I would eventually have
to do. But they were always hot girls, which they were funny. That. I mean, that was the thing, you know, when he married Mary Jane, that she was a supermodel.
Really? They made her a supermodel?
Yeah, and an actress and all that.
Oh, yeah, she was an actress. I remember that.
Yeah.
So do you look at the art of these things? Do you care about that, or do you just care about story?
I care about art, you know, and story. I think it's both. I think a lot of the best ones are done by guys who are writer artists, you know, where they have like a clear vision. I mean, that's not to say there aren't a lot of great, you know, collaborations, but you know, like when you read some like Frank Miller stuff, you know, and
he wrote Sin City.
Yeah. Like Sin City is such a, you know,
stylist.
Yeah, singular vision.
Yeah.
And it's kind of
cool.
They go
that hand in hand.
Yeah. That he wrote it and drew it.
Is that the one where the guy who directed that movie said, I have to put Frank Miller as a co-director on this because I took too much from him?
Yeah, Robert Rodriguez. Yeah.
And they said, those aren't union rules. You can't do that.
Yeah.
Well, then take my name off or we're not doing this union. I don't know what to tell you. I'm not taking credit for something he did, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. That is really respectable.
But I remember in the old ones when I used to read them, I was just reading to see what happened to Peter Parker.
Yeah.
Or to Batman.
Yeah, Robert Rodriguez was like, look, you could give me all the credit in the world for Shark Boy and Lava Girl, but Sin City, I couldn't come up with that. And then they let Frank Miller direct The Spear and it was terrible. So it's
really?
Like, well, maybe they should both go
direct.
He doesn't
know how to be behind a camera. Yeah. That's different things that he's not aware of.
Yeah.
So what do you like now?
I like this guy, Dan Slott. I'm a huge fan of. He writes the main Spider-Man title.
He writes it.
Yeah. And that was his dream. Like, he lied about an internship program, about being in college to get an internship program at Marvel. He wrote the Ren and Stimpy comic books in the early 90s.
Really?
Yeah. He did kids' books for years. Then he went to DC and wrote Looney Tunes books. But his dream was to write Spider-Man one day, and now he's doing it. And I got
Wow, that is cool.
Yeah.
When somebody has a dream like that. It's
and
not
you
just,
could
I
tell,
dream of being a lawyer. It's like, you probably
specific,
can't do it.
Yeah.
You probably cannot do this.
Yeah.
And then you get to do it.
Yeah.
That's pretty rad.
Yeah, it's kind of an inspiring thing. And I got to meet him. I did this like talk show, this comic book talk show, and I asked the guys that book it. I'm like, if you ever have them, please let me be the comedy guest. And we talked backstage, and it was great.
Wow.
We did the show the day before he was his first issue as sole writer of Amazing Spider-Man was coming out. Because he had done you know, a few issues before that, but now he was the sole writer. And there was a great moment where we're sitting there and they're reading at the end of the show, they're reading out all of the different, you know, hot books that are coming out tomorrow. And one of them was, you know, the Spider-Man issue that was about to come out. And he looks at me and he goes, I write Spider-Man.
Like, it's always hitting him.
It was great. Still. Yeah. Wow. You know, it was so awesome. You know, what's great about it is like, just doing comedy, you're surrounded by people who have great things happen to them all the time, but they're completely unfazed by it, and it's the most depressing thing. You know, you could see, like, someone could kill, and you're like, oh, man, that was great. And they're like,
oh, thanks,
whatever. Yeah. This is the life I chose. Yeah. You do and you don't, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a martyr complex.
What do you mean?
That people choose that. You choose to be tortured. You choose to be miserable. You choose to not enjoy your success.
Well, you can have, like, let's say an A-minus set. You can have that as your baseline, or you can have that as a huge success. You can just decide how to interpret it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, savor the moment, too. It's like, all I'm saying is it kind of depresses me when, you know, comedians talk. They never say, oh, how many people did you entertain last night? How many people did you make happy? It's always, why didn't my pilot get picked up? Why isn't this happening to me? It's like,
I was feeling bad. I got to do this Just for Laughs show. They sent me and Jeff Ross and Jay Oakerson, a couple other people intermittently to different like casinos around Canada. They were super fun trips. They paid well and they were fun. But the last one we did was in Ontario. And I thought it was going to be a few hundred people. And there was 3,300 showed up. And so the next week, people were like, how was it? I'm like, it was amazing. There were 3,000 people there.
Yeah.
But then I was like, is this bragging? Is this getting people's... But I was excited about it.
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't know. It's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, there has to be that. Or it becomes the Peter Parker thing. If Peter Parker is always downtrodden and never gets any kind of success...
That's annoying to have to hear people...
Yeah,
only be
four you know, books of Peter Parker going "woe is me" every month is overkill. That's why I mean I don't think he needed a supermodel wife, but he needed something. to kind of get him through it. You know, Aunt May can't be dying every single issue. She sometimes has to make him some delicious wheat cakes, you know?
Thanks, Aunt May. You're welcome. I'm going to go watch American Idol.
And think about my dead husband.
Think about the husband you killed with your neglect.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
Did he ever tell her?
Well, they did an issue a couple years ago where she finds out. And then it was kind of sweet. He comes home like almost beaten to death, and he's just strung out on the bed. And she, you know, came in to like surprise him and sees him in the costume.
Oh, and then fills in the blanks or whatever.
Well, didn't she think
Spider-Man killed her husband?
I think there was a little bit of that for a while. I don't know. They never played that angle up of it. They always played up the angle that he didn't want to tell her because he thought that the shock would cause her too much, you know, physical pain. Or that she'd be too stressed out.
I can relate to. I have trouble as I'm hearing this. I'm having trouble with it because I can relate to Batman seeing his parents get killed in front of him.
Yeah,
by the underworld.
Yeah,
it's like okay, I want to combat that.
Yeah,
but Peter Parker's thing was just he could have stopped the guy earlier.
Yeah,
and then he went like if I told that story to anybody, like if it was me, everyone would be like, "Dude, that's not your fault. You had no way of knowing you'd come back."
Yeah.
You cannot blame yourself for this.
Yeah. But it's the exact same guy. Yeah. I mean,
And he goes, it's not fits. My responsibility. Like, so over the top.
Yeah. Clearly.
Why am I responsible for crime when it doesn't concern me?
Well, they had to do an over-top coincidence to combat the subtlety of a radioactive spider biting a teenage boy and giving it all of its powers.
I remember this chick, Danielle Koenig, when I was in Open Mics, who's married to Pardo now. When the first Spider-Man movie came out, she was like, my friends were like, well, it's unbelievable because some of those billboards in Times Square, they would never have those billboards. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And she goes, you know what else was ridiculous? A man spider.
Yeah.
How are you overlooking that part?
Yeah.
That's not how science works.
I mean, let's be honest. One day we will be able to have the ability to climb on walls and shoot things out of our arms. We will never have white taxi cab drivers in New York City. All right, let's be honest here. let's be completely honest. Where you going, Mac? Where to? Hey, Parker. You want me to drop you off at Palookaville? Population U, crumpum?
Yeah, they had white cab drivers in those, didn't they?
Yeah, they always
do. It was never an issue with smell or...
And it's funny because they always have black people, but they're always like overly sassy.
Really?
Yeah, that's always, what you doing, Spider-Man? Like, I watched the pilot of Two Broke Girls yesterday.
Yeah.
And because I had read about it, and it made me really angry that there was the idea of these two really attractive girls being really poor.
Oh, yeah. I see girls in LA all the time driving Mercedes Benzes, and you're like, I don't recognize you, so you're not an actress.
Yeah.
So who are you fucking?
But the whole thing is
there's
like.
No way someone that hot as a producer got their life together and wrote.
But this show takes place in, you know, Williamsburg, where I live. And
that's where the hipsters live?
Yeah.
Is that where Hannibal does his show?
Okay.
I'm starting to get a picture of New York.
Painted by someone who clearly doesn't like it.
I'd love it here. I want to move here so bad. The cost of living is high, and the actual moving is so much work, and I'm so lazy.
Yeah. How long have you been in L.A.?
I've started out there 12 years.
Wow.
Yeah. It's great. The weather, so much better. But whatever.
Yeah.
I still feel like romantically I should be doing comedy in New York for a couple of years.
Yeah, I'm glad I was here. I don't even drive, so...
Yeah, I would give up my car. Did you start here?
No, I started in Florida. Oh. I did 1 year in Florida, and then, and it was, you know, but I always wanted to be here. That part of that was being a comic book fan and reading about...
Oh, yeah, they're all set here. This
romanticized...
Is
no, Toronto is Metropolis. This is
what?
Gotham City. Yeah.
What? Toronto is Metropolis?
People say that, yeah, the visual look of... Metropolis.
But it was in America, based, though.
Yeah, but I'm just saying on a visual scale.
It looks like Toronto?
Yeah. Wow. That's more designed around that.
And Gotham was New York?
Yeah.
Would they both just... Do they both exist in the same world?
Well, yeah, the DC Universe. Marvel? Yeah.
They were both cities in the same world.
Yeah, people... I mean, that was
they
like...
couldn't both be New
York. It was always like a complaint that, you know, that I've had, you know, some other people have. It's like in Marvel, they're all centralized in New York. But in DC, every hero has their own city. Which is kind of cool in a way that they, it makes more sense. I would think it would be
like that. A territory. You need a sheriff. Yeah. Every town.
Yeah, it makes more sense. Yeah, in New York, it's like, I mean, I'm reading some of the old McFarlane Spideys now.
What's McFarlane's first name?
Todd McFarlane.
Todd McFarlane. He was known as a classic.
Well, he was.
Guy.
Well, he did like. He was known as like the new style. You know, he did spaghetti webbing and all the weird poses. He came
spaghetti
out
spaghetti webbing. What is that?
That's the way that the webbing is drawn. That it's less drawn like a traditional web pattern and more like gooey looking.
Okay.
You know, he was the one who kind of, you know, pioneered that style. And that Spider-Man doing these really weird, like, contortionist poses where the one leg is, like, totally twisted. Like, he often looks like he's swinging Indian style, like that.
McFarlane would do that?
Yeah.
Huh. Why?
It just, I mean, it gave, like, a creepier, kind of cooler vibe to Spider-Man.
Yeah. So, Spider-Man's one of your favorites?
Yeah. But anyway, so... This is a storyline that I'm reading now.
Yeah.
He's promoting. Peter Parker has this book come out of all of his photographs of Spider-Man called Webs, and he goes on a book tour. But the funny thing is that he's still fighting crime in these other cities. Like he does like a book signing, and then sees like a villain there. He's like, I've got to stop him. So it's just this, and they even address the idea of like, how could Peter Parker and Spider-Man always be in the same place?
Yeah, like someone would catch on.
Yeah.
When I'm like running around with some like married lady or something, I take very big precautions.
Yeah.
not to put Twitter that I'm in their neighborhood or anything.
Yeah.
It seems careless of him.
Yeah.
He doesn't want that getting out. God, I really do love Spider-Man. What did you think of the movies?
Oh, man. I hated the first one.
Really?
Like, with a passion. I cried because of how bad it was.
Really?
It destroyed me as a fan.
Why?
They just took something I loved and shat all over it.
What do you mean shat all over it? Because I think sometimes you guys are a little bit too... I might be wrong, but it seems like you're a little too picky when it comes
to...
Well,
here's my biggest problem. Well, I have two huge problems. The first one is that Spider-Man wasn't funny at all.
And he normally is.
Yeah.
His quips are actually like, he's actually making jokes.
Yeah. And the thing is that...
He didn't make him funny at all. He didn't even make any jokes.
No, he's just sad. He's just too sad.
Yeah.
And I think Sam Raimi only read the comics from the 60s, but even then, Stan Lee gave Spider-Man peppy dialogue. The fact that Dr. Octopus is called Doc Ock.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that is kind of cool.
But that's the problem with, the first one, it was like, it's a Genesis, whatever they call him. Like, this is how he starts. It's what's like,
yeah,
it sort of happens at the beginning. So
yeah.
He hasn't had time to, like, finish mourning and whatever. But, like, in the comic books, you're like, yeah, it's been 80 years or 10 years.
But even in the second issue, he's still making fun of Vulture for being old and stuff. Yeah. Wow. I mean, because the thing is.
He's a punk kid.
The whole thing is that, but the costume is his escape. That he's tortured as Peter Parker. He has no control.
Oh.
And when he gets to put on he gets
to do whatever he wants.
His real self of having fun, getting into science.
This is like in Sleepaway Camp when you tell everybody you're a starter for the basketball team.
Yeah.
Really? You weren't even on the basketball team.
Yeah, but it's like when he's Peter Parker, people make fun of him for being a nerd. He often beats the villains by being a nerd. He outthinks them.
Oh.
A lot of them are more powerful than him, but I mean, how could you fight a guy made of sand? You'd have to outthink him.
How did he beat him?
Tons of ways. He throws water on him.
That's nice.
He sucked the first time he sucked him out with a vacuum cleaner.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah.
The throwing water on, that's how my friends say Jews are made. So you take dirt and throw water on it.
You take a piece of media controlling foam, you put some water on it, and it just grows into
it. It grows into a conglomeration of
Hi everybody. Hi Ivan.
God, the Jewish stereotype is so lame. It's so close to real.
Yeah. Isn't it funny? Like whenever you see like a Hasid standing with a bunch of other guys, he always looks like he's the head of a mafia.
Why? Because he's so dressed up.
Yeah,
I've never noticed that.
Like I was outside
when
of my
standing with a bunch of regular people or other.
Yeah, when he's the only one, you're like, oh, I'm sure he's the one who makes all the decisions.
It's connected.
Yeah. That's also breaks that. All the fingers.
Yeah.
Well, we got to get Herschel in on this.
Tough Herschel. Tough
Herschel is the shittiest name for a gang. Yeah. Hey, look, it's Tough Herschel. Did he name himself that, or did we? I don't know whether
I
should.
Did.
Cower.
I think he did.
Yeah.
He named himself after the letter Tough. Yeah. No one's going to get that. So do you go to like conventions and shit?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, I've done shows at conventions, and I've just gone on my own. I'm missing this year's New York Comic Con.
Oh, they have one here.
Yeah,
it's is it as big as San Diego?
No. San Diego the world's biggest. Yeah,
that's the one.
Yeah.
Never gone.
I've always wanted to go. Yeah, one day I will.
I wanted to go for a couple years, and then I would think it'd be fun for you, but then it became sort of just to see, you know, what it would be like.
Yeah.
But then it became like
all about movies and stuff.
Oh, I've heard that's a problem. But I mean just all about like making fun of the nerds there.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, I just want, we've infested them. The normals have infested into the nerds.
Yeah.
Like anything you've heard of. My theory is Vegas. Vegas sucks because there's so many people with tank tops and flip-flops. It's not the tuxedos anymore.
Yeah.
Once people find out about it, the French Riviera is full of tourists.
Yeah.
And that's all they are. The people
and you
are
destroy
the
what
nerds.
Once was. Yeah.
It was cool because you guys just all went there.
Yeah, it's like I got to do a gig in Atlantic City a month and a half ago, and I heard about how much of a dump it was.
Atlantic City?
I kind of wanted to see a dump.
Yeah.
And it's just so sterilized. It's so clean.
Yeah.
Everything, all casinos have, like, every casino feels like the spaceship from WALL-E.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a bunch of fat people rolling around, and it's all this barren emptiness. You know,
rolling around. It's fat people rolling around.
Yeah, on their hover
devices.
Rounds. Yeah.
Ugh, God, it's disgusting there.
Yeah, but it's disgusting in a different way than I thought it would be. You know,
Atlantic City though, the casinos like that, but outside of casinos, that's where the crime is and the gross.
But it wasn't that bad. No, I mean they were all outlet malls and shit.
Oh really?
Yeah.
I haven't been there in a long time. Maybe I shouldn't comment.
I mean, when I heard about Atlantic City, I thought of like Pelican shit and gangsters.
Oh yeah, like the old mafia days.
And instead, it's celebrity impersonators.
God.
And
it's so lame. Yeah. Atlantic City and Vegas have taken the worst type of entertainment and just marketed it as you will like this.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they ruin, you know, such pure things as ventriloquism, prop comedy, and magic.
But the fact they book it, that's not what people go to watch anymore.
Yeah, they do because it's safe. You know what you're going to get.
Yeah, I guess
if you're
so.
Spending $70 on something, it's guaranteed you're going to be amazed at something.
Yeah, you should better be amazed. Right? Comedy's not like that. You're like, yeah, that's a good dick joke.
Ventriloquism, regardless of how terrible it is impressive for 1 minute.
How did you do
minute.
That? Who's talking here?
Why do they always argue?
I went to O&A today. Well, I went yesterday, and I was supposed to go today. I just didn't look at my email right. So I fucking woke up in the middle of the morning for no reason, went over there, and then had to leave. But Jeff Dunham was there, the puppet guy. And he brings his different puppets to do audio.
Yeah.
He switches up, and it's weird as shit.
But did you know, was Edward Bergman, Candace Bergman's dad.
Yeah.
He had the puppet Charlie McCarthy. It was a huge radio hit for years.
Really? And he did him as a puppet?
Yeah, did
he not? Because I would think, I asked,
Bergen,
maybe, did I tell you about
Bergen,
this?
Yeah.
I asked somebody, and they're like, well, that's for the host to know who's talking, the other people that are in the room.
Yeah, but they also...
He said he does that for callers. He does it for phone-ins.
Wow.
He also gets the puppet out. He goes, well, hold on, I got to get a new puppet. And he takes a minute.
Maybe that makes it easier for him to do.
I guess so you can look at him.
Yeah.
I guess.
It'd be amazing if he forgot to bring one, and he was like, I can't. And then someone has to be like, just fucking
sit
do
on
the
his
voices. Shit. Do the fucking voice. Yeah, or they had to sit on his lap.
Someone had to be there. We had Willie, you know Willie and Tyler and Lester?
No.
The old comedy duo, Black Guy, Black Puppet. It was like on TV and like...
Oh, I think I do, yeah.
Well, before Leno, I guess, Carson.
Yeah, maybe I do.
Even the improv type of guy. He was the ventriloquist comic. And I'm assuming Priyato and George. Nice guy, clean comedy.
Yeah.
And me and my other door guy friend, this short black kid, he used to sit on my lap and we would do impressions of it on stage until he caught us one day.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, we're sorry. He's like, you just do an impression of Willie? That's okay. Or Lester. That's what it was. Lester was a dummy.
I think there was an episode of What's Happening that he was on.
It could be. I think he did a lot of guest starring stuff. Love Boat. I think he might have been on.
Yeah.
They did that shit. But that was the heyday of comedy when people were like, oh, that's a comedian who's doing a guest set on here.
Yeah. Well, comedy used to be someone doing something that you can't do, and now it's someone doing something that you can do. You just choose not to, so you'll watch them. I could also make an observation on that film, but I will allow you.
That's why hecklers are the worst, because they're like, well, I could do that. I'm like, yeah, you could. There's no training for this. You could be awesome right away. You won't be, but you could be.
You did get the biggest laugh.
You can't be a doctor. You can't do surgery without training.
Well, that was the interesting thing about like watching the Charlie Sheen roast.
Yeah.
That was just on. It literally was like a best of Twitter. Almost everything that was said on there has been tweeted by not even a comedian.
Just everybody.
Person. Yeah.
I put out a couple. Every once in a while, something will happen big in the news or like Sheen or whatever, something like that. And you'll go to write a tweet, and then all of a sudden you'll see the same thing written 7 times.
Oh, it's the worst. Like, when Osama died, that was like, that broke Twitter.
Yeah, because everyone was writing these jokes, and you're like, oh, that's the same thought I had. 80 people in Central Florida had the same thought.
Yeah. It kind of does devalue.
It really does. I mean, they're still funny, but it's just like, wow, I guess anyone can come to that.
Yeah.
Same amount of space and same format without, you can't vocalize, you can't do anything.
Yeah, and all the pride that you had about it, just like,
I came up with
it.
I'm original. Like, no, you're not. You're just doing it. That's
not even a stealing thing. It's just
Jesus. Anyway, so tell me more why you hate the movie.
Spider-Man.
Were you looking forward to? I never looked forward to a movie more than the first Batman. Never looked
the
forward
1989,
to
1989 Tim Burton one.
I would run out during previews.
Yeah.
I would like la 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 and run out of the theater. I didn't want to see a thing. I had the Batmania.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I pissed my pants, actually.
See, I didn't.
You didn't like it.
I mean, Batman kills in that, and the Joker's the one who kills him, and it's just overly stylized.
Oh, well, it's Tim Burton.
It doesn't hold up. I mean, I think Dark Knight will hold up 50 years from now.
I love Tim Burton, though. How do you feel about Tim Burton?
Tim
Burton. Not.
I love Pee-wee's Big Adventure. I think it's a fantastic movie.
Yeah.
But I think... You know, even Beetlejuice, Edward Scissorhands.
Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah, what happened to... Well, he didn't direct Nightmare Before Christmas, but I know he had a lot to do with it.
I think he designed all the...
But it's like, what happened to creative... What happened to really creative, Tim Burton?
Oh, I was going to say, what happened
to everything he's done recently has been based on something.
Hmm.
And I think, I mean, if you want to defend...
Planet of the Apes.
If you want to defend Tim Burton's Batman, I have two words for you. Batman Returns. They just gave him even more freedom, and it was awful.
Did he do Batman Returns too?
Yeah.
And then he got out. Which one's Batman? Who was the villain of Batman Returns? Schwarzenegger?
Penguins? No, it was Penguin. Yeah. Batman and Robin was the one with Schwarzenegger. That was Joel Schumacher.
I like I like Tim Burton's aesthetic. I just really like that.
Yeah. It's great on a design level, but in terms of a story and everything... It's just
Big Fish was amazing to me.
Yeah,
seemed like a movie about him making movies.
Yeah, and that's based on a book.
Is it really?
Yeah, I've never read it, but
when you get a great director like that, and you could not like him recently, but he's a great director. He does what wants to do.
He can be.
Yeah, but like when you get someone like that, whatever it's based on, you lose that. It goes away because he's putting such a stamp on it.
Yeah.
If I would make a movie based on some book, based on Catcher in the Rye, let's say, or something like that, it would just look like the book.
Yeah.
It would look real similar to the way you would do it, you know?
Yeah.
But when greats do it, whatever. I like Tim Burton.
Yeah.
So,
with the Spider-Man movie, like you said, the fact that he wasn't funny, and then second of all, the fact that it took Uncle Ben almost an hour to die.
Oh, yeah. It should have been right away, right?
Maybe that's where the me as a fan comes in. But
get to it.
Yeah.
Like this issue, him dying, yes, that makes him move into the future. But that's not the central plot
point.
But
he's still around, and Kristen Dunst was terrible.
She was annoying.
Green Goblin's costume was horrible.
Here was my biggest problem with Spider-Man. When Spider-Man was moving around as Spider-Man, doing fight scenes, and when Green Goblin, it looked like cartoons.
Yeah.
It did not look like real at all. So I'm like, let's just have a full cartoon.
It was CGI.
But it was bad CGI.
Yeah.
If I can see where it looks fake, it's like, this is stupid then.
Most CGI is bad, though. Most of it takes you out. That's like...
Well, they shouldn't do that then. If you put that much money into it, it's like, well, then there's better ways.
I mean, if more people just admitted that one of the many reasons the original Star Wars was better is because puppets are better than something that's not there.
Yeah. The Werewolf in London. When they made everyone...
Practical effects.
Yeah. There is some goo coming out. You don't have to imagine the goo coming out of
your face.
That's
what's great about Guillermo del Toro.
What does he does all his own?
He does Hellboy, did Pan's Labyrinth. Not all of his own, but he does a lot of his own. I got to see him speak at Comic-Con in 2008, and he just goes, fuck a CGI. Puppets rule.
Fuck a CGI.
And like, it got the biggest applause break I've ever seen somebody get.
It's really lame. Star Wars, and they put that shit in later. You're like, oh, yeah, I could see the fake with
that,
the new.
Yeah, I heard they just did that again. Like, it came out on Friday. And
Blu-ray. Never before on Blu-ray. Like, what never before? That's not, we weren't waiting for that. Who cares?
Yeah, and they did, but he added even more changes. Well, they do this at the end of...
Do that shit. I
at the end of Return of the Jedi, you know, there's like the vision of, you know, Darth Vader at the end that says like goodbye to him or whatever. They replaced it with Hayden Christensen. They replaced the actor that originally played to tie it in to the newer movies.
Tie into the shitty new movies.
Yeah.
Those I remember coming out of that movie, because you were probably caught up in the fever for that too, right? You're into Star Wars, or were you not?
I'm not the hugest Star Wars fan, but I was excited about it. I mean,
the world was caught up with it.
Yeah.
It was the biggest trilogy of all time.
Yeah.
That and
16
Godfather,
years.
But probably even bigger.
Yeah.
And it's just waiting and waiting. And finally, like, oh, the prequel. Like, I want to know about this. And everybody got out of that movie going like, yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, but look, but like, no one really did the same thing with Indiana Jones. They did the same thing with the Godfather.
With the new Indiana Jones.
And people are so, and it's after a while, you know, and this is kind of, I'd be an underlying theme in a lot of my comedy, is after a while it becomes our fault.
What do you mean?
We're responsible.
Responsible? Why?
You know, it's like, it's the whole shame on them. No, shame on us.
Why? For going to it?
That we fall for it every time.
What
that
about
we
this?
Constantly...
Did you see that movie?
I saw Green Lantern, yeah.
It was, like, I couldn't believe how bad it was.
Yeah. It was
and it
terrible.
Wasn't like, don't tell me, if you liked it, you're just wrong.
But having seen so many bad comic book movies, if I went into that believing it was going to be great, I was the idiot.
Because
they have fooled me. They have let me down. They have fucked me over. Me unfunny Spider-Man for three movies.
The reason I went was because my comic book friend was like, do you want to go? I was sitting outside the Improv deciding whether to go home or go to the comedy store. I was super high, really high. And he goes, oh, hey, you want to go see this Green Lantern movie? I'm like, wasn't that supposed to suck? And he's like, what else are you doing? And I was like, I'll be there. I'll meet you there. Sure.
That was,
eat some popcorn and go.
Yeah, I mean, the way that I saw it, and I felt so bad. I was in Austin doing feature work.
Where, at Cap City?
Yeah. Great club.
Who'd you open for?
Mulaney.
Oh, nice. He's really funny.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
He lives here. I never get to see him because but he's really funny.
Yeah, he's great. And so I got to work with him, and I remember I was staying with these two comedians, really nice people, and the girl was like, hey, you know, I'm off Friday. I'll drive you around the city. We could go to wherever in Austin you want. And I was like, listen, Green Lantern came out today, and I have to see it. And I'm really sorry about this. I would love to see your town. You could either go with me.
You said I have to see it?
Yeah.
But you knew it was going to be bad, didn't you?
I know, but it's my fault, though. It's my fault. And we went, and she came with me, and, you know, it's just like, it was closest
terrible.
I ever felt to being a rapist.
Did you
like just watching someone in pain, knowing that I caused that, and that they're gonna have to live with that the rest of their life, and I have to live with them living with that for the rest of their life?
Yeah, that would be bad.
Yeah,
that's not really rape. It's a slight version of it.
Well, the difference between rape and a Green Lantern movie is, a lot of times you thought you might have been able to love the rapist before.
Also, rape wouldn't last an hour and a half. And you wouldn't have to sit through the credits of a fucking rape to see the shitty beginning of the next movie.
Yeah, you don't have to hear Michael.
They better not make that.
You don't have to hear Michael Clark Duncan's voice in a rape.
Ugh. Yeah, good point. Unless you're getting raped by him, and that would be so sorry.
There's like, my dick is like pieces of glass inside of you.
Shattering.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Mr. Bojangles. I didn't mean to hurt you.
Which movies have you liked?
The Dark Knight, I think, is the pinnacle.
Dark Knight was really good.
It's the best.
But here's the thing. People defend comic book movies like, oh, whatever. You just weren't a fan of the movie, of the comic books. They'll
That's
say that
bullshit.
A lot. They said that outside Green Lantern. And I was like, first of all, okay.
No, it's a bad movie.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't a fan.
Yeah.
But I wasn't a fan of Iron Man, and I enjoyed that.
It's a great movie. It's one of the best. I mean, 2008 was the best year of comic
book
movies.
But I also wasn't a fan of Iron Man and Iron Man 2 was not as enjoyable for me. So yeah. Movies can be better or worse.
Of course. No, I totally agree with that. Yeah. I mean, and at the end of the day, you do have to look at these as movies. Yeah. You know, I mean, there is that fandom that comes in, but, you know.
They made two movies once, Deep Impact and
Armageddon.
Pretty much same movie.
Yeah.
And I think one of them, the studio found out the other studio was planning it, so they just rushed one out.
Yeah.
And the one with Tia Leone was a terrible movie.
Deep Impact.
That was Deep Impact, yeah. Yeah. It was terrible. Well, she chose not to survive because she was going to spend the last days with her dad. It was just so fucking stupid. The whole thing was dumb. She could get out of whatever. But those are both movies about the same thing. So yeah. You can do a good version of things.
And well, neither one. I mean, the other one was Michael Bay.
It was all right.
Yeah.
The other one was an action movie.
Yeah, yeah. One was Tia Leone and the other was Ben Affleck circling an animal cracker around Tyler's navel.
Yeah.
It was the only time I ever wanted to be an animal cracker, but
Tyler was hot for a while. I bet she still is.
Yeah,
I bet she still is.
Yeah,
she's probably still out of our league.
Yeah.
So which movies have you liked? Iron Man, that was good.
Yeah, Iron Man.
What did you think of Iron Man 2? I didn't like it.
It sucked.
Yeah, it did.
It really sucked. It was a complete waste of a film. I mean, because the whole thing of him having the disease that he ends up curing, like all he had to do to cure himself was realize he loved his dad. Like
that
was
it.
Yeah. Because he finds the video with his dad. And
where it's like nothing you did helped you overcome. That was the end of A Beautiful Mind, too, where it's like, you won the Peace Prize, the Nobel Prize. It was like, yeah, but none of the overcoming the split personality did that.
Yeah.
You won it based on something you did when you were still fucking sane.
Yeah.
You thought of something right before you got that first fake character.
Yeah.
You've done, until the rest of the movie had nothing to do with this big moment that I'm crying for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean... Iron Man 2 sucked too because they punked out Mickey Rourke like a bitch. It's so terrible.
He looked bad. I was like, wait, I know.
Well, he looked awesome,
he's an amazing
man.
Actor, but
he hung those two guys. You know, he was a fucking badass, like tough Russian prisoner.
Yeah, but that screaming and pain.
I want my blood. But the fact that he died in a minute at the end, the fight scene was so bad. And why does he? That's it. It's the same thing that they do it also in the first Iron Man. Both villains take their helmets off.
Yeah, why are you doing that? Oh, it's impenetrable except for me having to take my helmet off.
They always need to do that. In the Spider-Man movies, too, he always takes his mask off.
So that he can give a speech or something?
So that you could see him acting, I think. I think it's a narcissism thing of the actor.
Darth Vader never took his mask off.
Nope.
He's like, yeah, I look gross. I'm going to keep this on.
Yeah.
Also, he's used to it 24 hours a day. Why would he take it off?
Yeah, it looked like the maitre d' at a fucking Olive Garden.
Yeah, it's very dumb. It's dumb behavior from a smarter villain than that.
Yeah.
You're like, you're a smart guy. Why are you taking this helmet off?
To leave yourself vulnerable.
That seems...
There's all this munitions flying around and stuff.
Also, I didn't like the last Spider-Man. And that's Iron Man. I'll give it away for you. If you haven't seen it, I don't care. It's bad.
Yeah.
He's getting chased by 20 Iron Men.
Yeah.
Who are just as powerful as him.
Yeah.
And controlled by a computer with no emotion.
Yeah.
And he runs and runs away. I can get that he's just as fast as them.
Yeah.
But their guidance systems are better than the guidance system he has in his brain.
Yeah.
Deciding to turn left or right. That idea of like, you're hunch, you know, computers can't realize. But then he kills them all in one swoop.
Yeah.
And none of them saw that coming. None of them could have done that to him.
Yeah. Well, that's the why did we care anyway?
Why did we care? You were always able to do this. So like,
Well, that's, you know.
I never felt like he was in danger.
A lot of times with fight scenes in almost every fight scene in a comic book movie has been underwhelming. I think one of the only exceptions was Hulk versus Abomination in the 2008 Hulk. That was pretty good. But the thing is that...
They live. That wasn't a comic book movie.
Nah, but that's awesome.
And that's just a regular fight.
Just two guys beating the shit out of each other over a pair of sunglasses.
What's the one with the guy? I think he had a monkey in one of those. One of the Clint Eastwood movies where it might have hit.
Gigantic
fight they had through plate glass windows.
I don't remember.
It was some amazing fight.
But it was Any Which Way But Loose and Any Which Way You Can.
Yeah.
But Clyde.
Clyde, that's right.
Yeah.
God, how was that a fucking thing Americans were into? Anyway.
Monkeys or Clint Eastwood?
Monkeys. So what were you going to say? Clint Eastwood was great. What were you going
to
say?
Yeah, that monkey went on to direct some really great World War II movies. they run out. I think a lot of the times like they come up with these great set pieces, but then they run out of a budget. But it's also, necessarily... Like in The Dark Knight, like, you know, you could ask someone, what is the true climax of the movie? Is it him, you know, holding Joker over the ledge? Is it him having to decide between the two boats? I mean, the town deciding between the two boats, or is it him and Two-Face?
Yeah, there were a few fake endings to that.
Yeah,
the end of the Gollum movie, whatever it was called.
Oh, Return of the King. Yeah,
like, God, that was amazing. What? Another 40 minutes? We have another 40 minutes. Okay, I'll sit down.
Yeah,
it was like, well, how's this not over yet?
Another moment, I did a show once.
Have to go 3.5 hours.
I did a show once. It's the only time I've ever seen this, but the host did time after the last comic.
Ooh. Weird.
Just a little more before we go.
It's like, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Black comic?
No.
Okay. Stereotype changed.
Yeah. No.
Go ahead. So he did that. Yeah, where you're like, oh, the show's done. Why are you still talking?
I love in that question, either a whole race looks bad or you do.
Or I do. It's one or the other. I'm going to put it out there publicly because I think black comics more than anybody love talking. They run the light more than anybody.
Yeah.
But
What if a doctor comes in and the thing is that black people have a harder time seeing different types of light, and that's why.
I'm like, say everybody, I was right. Yeah. I was totally right. They can't see the light.
They're still terrible for doing it, but.
So what are your comic books now that you're into?
Yeah, like I said, I mean.
I'll 15 more minutes with you, and then I'll get you out of here.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, the Dan Slott stuff is great.
What does he draw? What does he?
Well, he does Spider-Man. Okay. There's some new.
Are you into the graphic novels?
Yeah, I read some of those. Daniel Clowes is obviously great. I read more of like the classic stuff. Like I just got a subscription to Marvel.com, so I've been catching up on a lot of stuff from the 80s and 90s.
Oh,
like,
that's cool. So you can get all of it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Not all of it, but a good amount.
That's my problem. Is like when I wasn't a Spider-Man, I was like, okay, I got to wait a week now.
Yeah.
Come back here to this bookstore in a week. I want to kind of find out what's happened.
Yeah. Well, you could subscribe. I remember I subscribed to Spider-Man when I was a kid for 1 year.
For about a year, yeah.
And I figured, this will last me a year. This will be fun. But then they went bi-weekly. So it was done in like 7 months. Uh-huh. As I get through the second issue, they went bi-weekly. I'm like, ah, fuck.
Can't even get a year out of it.
The Jew in me was like, but come on.
You're
I
Jewish?
Don't want more books. I want to wait longer. Yeah.
Jewish. Nerd and Jewish goes hand in hand.
Yeah.
So it's tough.
Yeah. I mean, comic books are a Jewish art form. Almost all of the pioneers were Jews.
Is that real?
Yeah.
Wow. Why? Just because. What do you think that is with Jews and creativity? Do you have any theories?
Yeah. It's just, creativity is a reaction to oppression. That
and people think it was just the Holocaust. It was far before that.
No.
The repression.
Yeah.
So the creativity must have sparked. You think creativity is a response to oppression?
Well, anti-Semitism, yeah, it's been around for years.
Black music,
I think it's totally.
That's very creative, and that's got to be a result of some oppression. Did anything bad happen to black people in this country? I don't remember if anything.
Yeah.
Well, that makes total sense. What else do you love?
Or Mexican food, Tacos are a sign of a reaction to oppression.
What else do you like? Do you like Green Lantern?
Yeah. I mean, his book is all right. There are a lot of great guys out now. Brubaker, Rucka.
Did you read Mouse?
I couldn't get through it. I got to tell you, I'm all Holocausted out for the rest of my life.
Yeah, I hear
which
you.
Proves that I'm a Jew. You just, it's too much, like, I will openly say that it annoys me that the word Holocaust was changed to a proper noun.
Capital H?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, no. Other,
it's our
I mean,
Holocaust.
That people have died, that there have been mass genocides since.
They're like, nope, it's our Holocaust.
Yeah.
And the Jews always say this too, like, well, it's because so many, only a million died in Rwanda or wherever it was. But it was 6 million. It was a lot. I mean, it's just a lot more. It's like, okay, so then that means if some other genocide that has 10 million.
Yeah.
Are you gonna stop calling us our thing the Holocaust? No, of course
you're
not.
It's like if you knock down 3 buildings on September 11th, then that gets to be 9/11.
Yeah. Sounds like a plan. Let's do this.
Yeah.
2021.
Well, I was like reading this like quote the other day from George Bush where he's like, after the attacks, 9/11 is now more than just a day on the. I mean, now 9/11 will now always be a day on the calendar. That's what he said. It will always be a day on the calendar. I was like, it was before.
Come on, George. Fucking cross-reference these things with your speechwriters. You're gonna get in trouble for everything you say. Just
him knowing what a calendar is kind of impressive.
Calendar is a tough word to spell. That'd be a tough one. If I doubt he would even know that.
No.
I bet he would. George, he wasn't a retarded guy. He just wasn't that smart.
Yeah.
I know you have to get out of here soon. What else do you have to tell people about comic books?
that they're fun, and you should, if you like the movies, then maybe give them a shot. I mean, because that's the problem the industry has right now.
Is what, the movies?
Well, that they're able to get $100 million at the box office,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, the highest selling comic book like this year is like 200,000 copies.
What is that?
I mean, I think it was Justice League, which just came out. DC relaunched their entire line of books. Everything's at number one again.
Oh, what do you think of Black Spider-Man?
I don't mind it.
Totally don't mind it, right? I wouldn't mind that either.
I mean, the thing that's annoying about
people say it's a change of tradition. But like, there's no tradition. He just happened to be white the first time. There've been 1,000 different Spider-Mans in the different books.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be different people.
Yeah. And now he could be as poor as Peter Parker always thought he was. So
yeah, exactly.
There's that.
Living in his Manhattan apartment. Fuck you, Parker.
Well, that was always
moved to Brooklyn.
That was always the annoying. Yeah, really. Or Queens.
You're this poor. Yeah, go to Astoria. Live with your mother for a while. Aunt.
Well, that was always the annoying thing that like Stanley used to say, was be like, the great thing about Spider-Man is that anybody can be Spider-Man. And it's like, well, then why'd you make him a milquetoast white guy? Why'd you make him the blandest guy possible?
Stan Lee Jewish?
Oh, yeah. Stanley
really?
Lieber.
Wow.
Yeah. Jack Kirby is Jacob Kurtzman. Yeah. A lot of them changed their names. The Ellis Island thing, you know?
You would think the comic book world would be. Oh, that Ellis Island thing? That's my theory on why customer service at TSA right now is the same as it's always been.
Why is that?
Because we make them that angry. We make the TSA people that angry. It's the travelers who are so shitty. Like, can I go to the front too? You said $6.50.
Oh, of course.
$6.50
yeah.
Before. And like, your ticket's at $7.10. Like, wow, it's soon. Like, just please stay in the back of the line. But, and they get so fucking mad because I've seen people their first week at TSA.
Yeah.
Friendly and nice. So my theory was totally. At Ellis Island, they're so pissed off by these people. They're like, my name is Smith Bergerowitz. Like, shut the fuck up.
I'm not writing down Mazinski.
It's Smith. I'm done with all of you people. It's Smith. Move.
Well, they had to write the name down. I'm like, yeah. How do you? Is that 3 Z's or 2 Q's?
Yeah, and not to even ask. It's like, fuck it, just move.
Yeah,
like that's his name forever. Like, no, I don't want to deal with it.
Yeah,
that's my theory.
That's yeah. I mean, that was me and yeah, because I've been opening with John Oliver, which has been a lot.
Oh yeah,
of fun.
I heard about that. How's that?
It's been great.
I drove to see him, and I say I'm doing this thing now, but I've done it like twice. Where I want to drive. Have you been to California to the comedy clubs out there?
I did the improv.
Okay, well, they have a few clubs in
LA, yeah.
In Hollywood, and they have 3 or 4 more clubs within an hour drive.
Yeah.
The Brea Improv, the Ontario Improv, Irvine Improv. And so you could see sometimes a lot of New York comics.
Yeah.
And a lot of LA comics doing an hour.
Yeah.
You normally don't see a long set. So I'll drive down there sometimes, especially if my sets aren't until late. I'm like, fuck it, I'll go down there. I watch Bill Burr and I watch John Oliver.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, it's really funny.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah. It's just cool to be able to see people. But yeah, it was like, oh, he talked a shitload of being about British.
Yeah.
I think in LA, we're like, oh, we don't really care about that. It's not really an issue.
It works. I mean, I love it because he does it in a way that he admires America.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's a very sweet and endearing thing. And, but we, like, when we go to these airports sometimes, it's funny. Like, the smallest airports where everyone's still nice because they haven't been embittered by time. But there was this amazing, moment that happened. We were traveling on September 11th, and we were in Seattle, you know, coming back to New York, and it was 5:45 in the morning there, which, you know, then 8:45 in New York, because that's how time travel works. And we're there, and at 8:45,
is that when the planes hit?
Yeah, that was the first one that hit. Yeah, and so we're in. We're in a security line, which is the best place to be at that time. And over the loudspeaker, they say, we will now give a moment of silence for everyone, you know, who lost their lives. And what was amazing about it was, so, you know, everybody goes quiet. And, you know, airports in the morning are like the loudest places ever. So it's like we could hear like people yelling at ticketing agents.
Because
it's right next to security. You know, what the fuck do you mean I'm not flying? You know, and all that. So it goes completely quiet. And all they said was a moment of silence, not a minute of silence, not 10 seconds, you know, just a moment. And to watch it slowly start to unravel again,
like,
and a noise here and a noise there. And then
are we done? We should
It was like watching the opening of Stomp. Like, it was just, like, how did one broom turn into 20? How the fuck did...
When everyone was quiet, did any part of you, not that you were going to do it, but any part of you was like, I have a joke I can make right now. I want to yell it out. Like, everyone will hear it. And obviously you don't do that, but like...
Yeah.
Did you think of anything?
No, I mean, it was... No, you know, it was one of those things of like... I was... The thing that I was thinking of in my head was... What's going to be the first thing that I hear again?
Oh.
Because it was about 30, I'd say it was about 30 seconds before anyone said anything. And then it was just, so I'm going to Bermuda, right? You know? And it just started, the cacophony began anew.
One of my favorite things to hear is a Passover Seder, especially when you have like a lot of people over, like 10 or 12 people over. And there's four cups of wine. I don't know how religious you were, but there's four cups of wine you have to drink through the meal. And you're supposed to drink at least half of the cup.
Yeah.
12 people are drinking at the same time. So you don't hear it. All you hear is...
Yeah.
Just so fun. It's so fun just listening to gulping.
Yeah.
If you're ever at a Passover Seder, please enjoy that moment, courtesy of...
Yeah, I went to one earlier this year, and it was like going to a Passover Seder, because there was one girl who was actually really into it and like sincerely Jewish, and the rest of us just did it for fun. Uh-huh. You know, it was a lot like when I went to
see... Can't mix those people.
It was a lot like when I went to see Thor with everybody else. We're like, oh, this would be fun. I'm like, this is serious, and it means everything to me.
<You know? laughs> I saw Trainspotting, and I saw my roommate and his friend, later-to-be roommate and his friend.
And you were into heroin, and they weren't?
I wasn't into it, but I loved it. I don't know what it was. That movie amazed me.
Yeah.
Who directed that?
Danny Boyle.
Yeah. Who went on to do a lot, and it was like...
Slumdog Millionaire.
Yeah, I was like, this is an interesting... It's shot interesting. The music is interesting.
Yeah.
And I was like 15 minutes into it, he started with his watch light, like he was rustling, like he wasn't enjoying it. And I kept looking over him, it was like upsetting me, before cell phones and stuff. Then I heard him whisper to that friend on the other side something. And I was like getting so annoyed. And then he turned to me, he's like, do you want to go? I'm like, yes, let's go right now. I'll come back tomorrow. Let's just go. You're fucking this up for me. Let's leave.
Yeah.
And I went back like later and just watched the whole thing.
Yeah.
It was so important. We fucking, every time I podcast, I deviate as far as possible. My accident away from 9/11 talk and Trainspotting is so much different than the comic books I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
But, all right. You have to go?
Yeah.
Okay. What's your Twitter? Are you on Twitter?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm the Mike Lawrence, and also.
Spelled exactly how you think it would be, right?
Yeah. And MikeLawrenceComedy.com is my website.
Is MikeLawrence.com taken?
Yeah.
Clearly. No one would choose that first, but that's fine.
Mike Lawrence Comedy.
Yeah.
Why not?
Everybody has it. Every comedian has that, but it's only because the first
time. Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's cool. And you're touring and stuff with
John
Oliver?
Yeah, yeah. We're doing MIT at the end of October, which I'm really excited about.
Oh, that'll be cool.
Yeah.
Bunch of nerds there.
Oh, yeah. I'm really excited about it.
Plus, you got that Daily Show crowd. I wonder if that's like a cool crowd for you.
Yeah, I mean, he has the best crowds anyway.
Smart. Because
like when he goes to, when he goes to like conservative towns, all of the liberals,
the cools show up.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh, very neat, man.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for talking.
Yeah, it was great.
I'm recording a city in Minnesota, in Bloomington, in January at the House of Comedy, I think it's called. Maybe not. I'm not so much telling you that as I am the microphone.
Okay.
I'm looking at you and you're like, I don't know how you want me to react to that.
Yeah.
But I'm mostly just talking to people who will listen to this.
Sweet. Great.
And that's it, man. I did your...
Holy Mountain.
Yeah, I did your show. Yeah.
Yeah. That was our first one. Yeah.
That was your first one? You said like Rory Scovel was our first comic, and I was like, does that mean he was once your first comic? I didn't put it together.
No. That was the first show.
Yeah, it could be cool. Ever. What place is it in?
It's at Northeast Kingdom in Bushwick off the Jefferson L stop.
It's like a super small place. If you get 15 people in there, that's mobbed.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, I mean, when jokes hit, they hit hard. And that's
you're
all
right
I
on top of people.
Yeah.
Jesus, I'm so unprofessional. You're right on top of people. It's just cool. So what's the address and what night of the week is it on?
It's 18 Wyckoff Street, I think, or Wyckoff Avenue. It's one of those.
This is on the border of Brooklyn and Queens?
No, it's firmly entrenched in Brooklyn, in Bushwick.
Okay.
Northeast Kingdom is the name of the spot. Holy Mountain is the name of the show. No, it's
not
on
Ditmar. That's what that – okay, I know. Whatever. Yeah. Anyway. So go to it. If you're out there, go to it. It's no cover charge, right?
No, it's
and
free.
You get some, like, there's some New York, LA is sort of the same way, but New York even more. there's these one-night rooms all over the place like that.
Yeah.
But you get legitimately top-shelf comics.
Yeah.
Doing it. Rory Scovel was there.
Yeah. Funches. Funches is great. Yeah. And then,
yeah, they were just on Conan.
And I think, you know, Amber Nelson, who, you know, been doing it for like 2 or 3 years, she was fantastic.
She the UCB girl?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was good.
Yeah.
I liked her.
So we, you know, we want that. We want a good mix.
Yeah.
You know, like next week we have James Adomian and Murder Fist.
I don't know Murder Fist.
They're a sketch group.
Oh, okay. Yeah, James Adomian is funny. He does really original impressions. Like really original and really good ones.
Nah, he's great. Yeah.
All right. So if you're there, go to that. And if you go to that, if you heard about the show from here, tell Mike so it'll get back to me so I know it's doing something for somebody.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
I enjoy hearing those stories.
All right. Well, thanks.
You're welcome. Bye. All right, everybody, that was Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank number 25. Thank you very much for tuning in. I just found out that I will be recording my CD, not in January, but in October in Edmonton, Canada. And if you just heard me pause after I said Edmonton and before I said Canada, it's because my brain was searching for whatever province Edmonton was in, and it came up with nothing. If I had to guess, I would guess Alberta. Is it in Alberta? And if you think, Americans don't know Canadian geography, I also don't know the capital of Iowa or North Dakota or Wyoming. Cheyenne? Maybe it's Cheyenne, but if not, I have no idea. Lots of states. So it's going to be at the Comic Strip in Edmonton. I heard it's a great club. It's going to be October 25th or 26th, I forget, through the 30th. Please come out. It'll be a great time. And my next storyteller show, October 20th at the Improv, at the LA Improv at 8 o'clock. I picked the theme. It's going to be all Halloween-y themes. So like scary stories or spiders or, I don't know, all Halloween-y stuff. I haven't booked anybody. I just decided the theme yesterday. So it's come out. It's a great show. And I keep it $5. It's always a great time. And that's it. I'd like to thank Stand Up New York, the comedy club in New York City, who gave me two spots while I was there. They're on 72nd or 78th and Broadway, one of those two. Really good club. If you live in that area, check them out. I'd also like to thank Brian Baldinger for letting me stay at his pad while I was there. And lastly, and not least, I would like to thank Mamoun's Falafels for, or maybe it's just Mamoun's Middle Eastern food. I don't really know, but they have delicious falafel and shawarma. And this year, I just heard 70% fewer rat droppings. So it'd be a great time to check that out this year. Thank you guys very much, everybody, for listening. Skeptic Tank 25, over and out.